Not even going to bother putting music in on this one.
Welcome to the Geeksplorenaut Off-Topic Debrief. I'm John Williams.
And I'm Ben Robinson. I'm pretty sure it's been a while. I think that's still who I am.
It certainly has. Yeah.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing just peachy, coming off of like 3 weeks off of work. So get back to the grind tomorrow. So I'm feeling good.
Ew, man. I think I would be feeling like the worst out of that entire 3 weeks today. Just like knowing I have to go back.
Yeah, I know. I'm ready to get back into it. It's been 3 weeks is a long time. Like, I was out of the country for a little over 2 weeks, and that's the right amount of time, I think, because after 2 weeks, you're like, I want my house and my bed and, you know, all the creature comforts of my normal, boring life back.
Yeah, I've only been out of the country for a maximum of like 5 days, I think, when I went to Mexico last year. And even after that, like, yeah, I was done. It's like that was it. I'm ready.
Yeah, the weird thing is the thing I found myself pining for the most near the end of the trip.
Your friend John.
No. Was a comfortable couch. I just wanted to sit on a comfortable couch and like read a book. And there just weren't any. You know,
you wanted something with your ass print in it.
Yeah.
And the Philippines did not have your ass to be printed.
No, my ass is considerably larger than most of the asses in the Philippines, as it turns out.
So I haven't even caught up with you since then, you know, just very, very briefly spoke to you about wanting to get something going and my neuroses over a joke that I thought you may or may not have gotten. And I looked foolish. But how was that trip? Like, what was some of the cool shit you did?
It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. I went scuba diving with Odin he hadn't been scuba diving before, so took him out and did that. He had a good time and did really well. It was fun. Got to meet just a shit ton of the rest of the extended like Filipino family. Like they had like a family reunion thing back at the family compound, and there was like 200 people there. It was insane. But they're all very nice, and it was very fun. It was interesting, for sure.
Lots of aunties.
Yeah, I got a kind of got in on how the family dynamic there works, which is a little different. I don't want to say it's tiered, but there's like the people that live there that are kind of the beneficiaries of the folks that live in the U.S. And then there's like the people in the U.S. who are like the benefactors, you know, because they send money back and they own the property. And the folks that live there kind of maintain it and keep everything up.
Interesting.
They'd come into like our room in the morning and like clean the room and like take our laundry, and it would come back like folded and ironed and done. And like I felt kind of awkward. I was like you know, it was like having butlers and stuff. Like it was just except they were all family. It was a weird dynamic that my Americanness was having a hard time with.
Which is a strange dichotomy, because you certainly don't do your own laundry, but to have a stranger, yeah, like washing and folding, and like, what do they think about my skid marks? My wife is used to them.
Ironing my underpants. Like my underpants.
Girl, why is this laundry sitting where it's supposed to be and not on the couch for a week?
Yeah, it was fun though. It was a good time. 10 of the 15 days I had diarrhea, so that was cool. So I got a couple good, couple good poop stories out of it, and came back with bronchitis, so that was fun.
Travel,
yeah, but it was a hell of a lot of fun. It was very cool to go and see. My kids had a great time. It was good for them to kind of see some more, you know, how the other parts of the world work. You know, nice to get some perspective.
Well, I've got two questions for you. One, did you find a comic shop in the Philippines?
Kind of. I found what Google said was a comic book shop. It was more of like a pop shop with like collectibles and stuff, but they did have some comic books, and I did get you one in Tagalog.
Fuck yes. Awesome. Thank you.
It was kind of hard to find though, because English is so prevalent over there. Like there's, I think, 170 different languages in the Philippines. And of which like seven of them are like official prominent languages, like the big family, you know, the big family trees of languages there. And so even to communicate with each other, like the folks that speak Ilocano and the folks that speak Tagalog usually talk to each other in English. And so like in Manila, like all the street signs are all in English, you know? So, I mean, like, so basically they don't, because English is so prevalent, they don't bother. There's no reason to localize any of the Western comics, you know. I was hoping to get like a copy of Superman in a different language or something, but they all read English, so you just get English Superman over there.
So I'm curious though, did you happen to notice if the comics were just American comics in the Philippines, or if they were, or if they had any sort of like different trade dress or anything?
Most of the ones I saw, they looked exactly the same as the ones we get. I think that's just the same, same print run, and they ship them over. Like, so I don't, there's no real reason to localize anything there, because everyone, you know, English is going to be the prominent way that stuff's going to get consumed anyway.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see whatever that comic book is. I'm super stoked. The other question I had is, did you get a chance to try mixed spaghetti at McDonald's there?
I tried it. Odin got it and I took a bite of it.
How was it?
It's okay. So I guess tomatoes, not big in the Philippines, which is weird because the climate seems like they could grow them just fine there.
Yeah. But
I guess that like their marinara sauce is very sweet, because everything is very sweet in the Philippines. Like there's nothing spicy, everything's sweet. And apparently their marinara and their ketchup there are both very sweet. And it's mostly because they are made primarily with banana instead of tomato.
Oh, banana spaghetti.
Yeah. So it is, it's like, if you ever have a chance to go to a Jollibee, because there are some of those in the US, I think there's one in Elk Grove, maybe. The spaghetti tastes a lot like that. It's like standard Filipino spaghetti, which is weird. It's just, it's a very sweet marinara sauce on noodles, and that's it.
I want to try it. I wonder if it would taste anything like the gas station spaghetti and chicken parm that we got a little while back.
Maybe.
It was a pretty sweet sauce. I think I've found that I prefer a sweet sauce, and that's why Angelina and I disagree so much over spaghetti sauce flavors, because she's Italian. So they don't, you know, it's not a very sweet sauce at all. If anything, it's like a pinch of sugar in the sauce.
Oh, yeah, but, they definitely don't use bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah, McDonald's also had the Chicken McDo, which is...
What the fuck is that?
Fried chicken, because everywhere has fried chicken. So the you could get McDonald's fried chicken, which was okay. It wasn't bad. It was not, you know, it wasn't like top shelf, but it was McDonald's. So, you know, what do you do?
It was like KFC.
Yeah, so you can order you know, fried chicken and spaghetti with a side of white rice.
Wow. Also, can you get it in a McBucket?
They did have buckets of chicken, yeah.
All right.
Also, their large fry is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it is easily the size of like three large fries in the US.
Holy shit, no way.
Yeah, it was like, I saw a guy eating it and I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was like, you know, the standard McDonald's fry bucket, except it was probably six, seven inches wide by like 6 inches tall and like 3 inches thick, stuffed full of fries. It was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen.
Fucking awesome. Well, hell yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you. What'd you do?
I didn't do shit, man. You guys were gone. No, I helped your mother-in-law pack some stuff and move some stuff to a storage unit. That was fun. And she got a tick in her arm, and that cut off our first day early because she was freaking out. It's like, I don't know what's going on. There's something black in my arm and it's burrowing. I can feel it.
Yeah, I heard she went to the hospital for a tick.
Yeah, well, you know, I certainly wasn't gonna be the expert and pull that thing out. I've only ever gotten one tick, and Angelina pulled that out of me. And I hear all sorts of things about, you know, the head getting left in there and getting Lyme disease and shit. And
yeah, well, those two things are unrelated.
Oh, okay.
Like you can just get Lyme disease from it biting you. Yeah. And the head is just like it can get infected because it's got, you know, you've got an insect head in your body, but they're not that big of a deal.
Well, apparently she's got an insect head in her body because it detached and they couldn't get it. But
fun.
Yeah, whatever. Let's see. What else did I do? I taught my kid the soul crushing game of Monopoly.
Did you guys actually finish the game?
Yeah, we finished it. It was over like 4 or 5 nights. We had gone to a friend of Angelina's place over New Year's, and like the kids were all playing a game of Monopoly, and my kid just, I could tell she didn't fully grasp what Monopoly was. And you know, I was just talking about shit about Monopoly the whole time. So I was like, you know what? She should experience Monopoly. I'll play through a game of Monopoly, even though I more or less swore to never do it again. And because for me, Monopoly, it's just like, even if you win, at some point your soul gets crushed. And like, if you don't like capitalize early on, it is just a slow, or for anyone who doesn't win, it is a slow descent into bankruptcy. And it is just, it's crushing. I hate losing in games, but when I have to do it for hours, like, fuck yeah. That.
Yeah, because there's definitely a point of no return in Monopoly where you're not going to win. And you're just going to get slowly bled dry while somebody else gloats for an hour or two.
Yeah, you just got to keep rolling those dice. There was a point in the game, like we did a reasonably good job. You know, Angelina and I helped guide our kid we were teaching her why we would make certain decisions. We wouldn't take advantage of her. And if she offered something up in trade that was a really stupid trade, you know, then we'd tell her like, no, don't do that. And here's why. You know, we really wanted her to grasp what makes Monopoly Monopoly. And we did a pretty decent job, I feel, because by the time we had all traded and all the properties were where they were going to be for the rest of the game, we each had a couple monopolies and, you know, they were reasonably spread around the board. And my kid had a shit ton of money. She was on top of the world, like to the point to where I was thinking like, or I said to her, like, you got to remember that when you play in the future, people may not be helping you avoid bad deals.
Yeah, you may have to experience the crushing grip of capitalism.
Yeah, this isn't how it's going to be every time, because nobody was landing on my friggin' properties. I had the friggin' greens and nobody was landing on them just over and over again. It was driving me bananas. But then all of a sudden, they both hit them several times, and like my kid did not enjoy that. we really had to like talk her off the ledge. You know, we're like, no, you know, this is how the game goes. And like, we had all had moments of you know, hitting things. I friggin' built up my three monopolies, even though one of them was the little pee-pee purples in the very beginning. And I had built it all up, and then I got that fucking card that says, you know, pay for repairs on all your stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had to sell almost all of my houses and hotels just to pay for that, because I'm really aggressive. When I get money, I invest it, because I'm like, if somebody hits it and there's nothing on there, like this $500 I have isn't going to be worth anything once I land on theirs. Like, I need to crush them before they crush me. But eventually I did win. So, but it's just, man, that game.
You want to make sure she doesn't.
My kid ever wants to play it again.
Good. Yeah. I was gonna say, you don't want to make sure she doesn't enjoy it too much. Otherwise she'll want to play Monopoly more.
Yeah. And I was talking to somebody, I don't think this is the truth, because I think when we did our tabletop games episode, we may have done a history on Monopoly. I feel like at some point we did the history of Monopoly and its creation. But somebody I was speaking to was saying that they had heard that Monopoly was created by somebody who was who was anti-capitalism, mm-hmm. as a way to show like how horrible capitalism is and what assholes it makes people. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. And they said that this person also created a game that was also all about like communism or socialism. But nobody wanted to play it because it was too boring. Like, I hope those things are true, because that is true. Like, Monopoly, man, this is one of the few times where I'll win in a game and not
still hate it.
Like it. Yeah. Even playing Justice League Monopoly, it still was not the best. But yeah, that occupied a lot of our time. We were watching some TV and
you played Monopoly for 3 weeks.
Yeah, no shit. That's what it felt like. I mean, we'd just do an hour here and there.
Oh, so it wasn't all in one session, you just left it set up?
Yeah, we started last weekend. Yeah, and it was on our dining room table, and then we would just play, you know, an hour or two at a time every evening. We had like a routine, like we'd eat dinner and watch some TV and then go play Monopoly. We came onto this this new TV show called, or it's not new, it's second season, but we were watching the second season called Traders. Have you heard of that?
No, like people who trade or people who stab you in the back?
Stab in the back.
Ah, that's more exciting.
Yeah, you might actually like it. I mean, there's no real celebrities that I would recognize, just a bunch of like reality show celebrities, but it's got Alan Cumming hosting it, who's just being so overly dramatic. It's fucking great. I love it. It's so fun to watch him like just be as flamboyant and as possible and just turbo melodramatic. But basically, there's a big group of people, and anonymously, a couple of them get labeled or they get the moniker of traitor. And the whole point is every episode, the traitors will kill somebody in the house. And then they also have a roundtable discussion where everyone votes somebody out who they think is a traitor. And then there's like a big money pot where if even one traitor survives, the traitors get it. If all the traitors get rooted out before then they're called faithfuls get the money. And it's pretty fun to watch. Like, you know, we're big fans of the games, you know, like
Secret Hitler, like
Chameleon. Yeah. Yeah. Secret Hitler, Sunken Sailor. Like it's a lot of that, but it's a big group of people and they don't always make very wise decisions, but it's fun to watch like herd mentality and just it's yeah. I've been enjoying it. We ran out of new episodes though, so now we have to wait like we did when we were kids. I fucking hate how TV is reverting back to that. I want to binge it.
I will wait rather than watch something week to week. I just don't care enough to watch something weekly as it comes out.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Oh. So one thing I did do on the plane on the way to Philippines was I watched The Dial of Destiny.
Oh shit. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. You know, it was better than I expected. It was
good.
Like
makes me so happy.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it had its weak spots for sure. But, like the cold open was fucking great. Like that was a lot of fun to watch. The de-aging they did, actually, it looked passable. Like it wasn't jarring, and it felt like a good old Indiana Jones adventure. Like it was nice and long. Mm-hmm. It was cool to see that. I mean, Harrison Ford stepped pretty much right back into the role of Indiana Jones. Like it felt like Indy. He did a good job. The end with Marion was very sweet. I liked that a lot.
Oh man. Oh
yeah. Which was nice that they ended with that, because the ending back at the battle of, you know, whatever the fuck was stupid as fuck. So I'm glad it didn't end there.
Yeah. The fact that they did actually, spoilers, go back to Archimedes time. And there's like the whole big war with the Trojans and shit like that. I get that in Indiana Jones movies, the thing that you're going after, the mythical thing, has to be real. Like it has to be real, but that was too much. You know, it's great like in Raiders when the Ark of the Covenant kills everybody involved except for Indy and Marion. And so you as the viewer know it's real, but nobody else does. And it's just low key. Like with this one, yeah, sure, like nobody's going to believe the four or five of them when they say, oh yeah, we traveled back in time, but it was too much.
It was just a giant fucking mess of spectacle that just didn't, like, it didn't add anything to the story. Like, it was just, I don't know. It was silliness. But and otherwise, just in general, like, a lot of stuff just looked super fake.
Yeah.
Like, the whole tuk-tuk chase that went on for way too long, which I get it. You're not going to put an 80-year-old Harrison Ford in an actual tuk-tuk and drive it around at 50 miles an hour. So it was not practical for them to do it practically. I get that to a degree. But it just looked so fake. Everything was a bit unreal. And it, like, part of me was...
No, let's go back to saying nice things.
Part of me was in the back of my mind complaining about, like, well, it's so just like the convenience of everything, you know, where they slip the bad guys and go to Sicily or some, you know, whatever island they ended up going to. And they just happen to know exactly where they're going and show up at the same place and kidnap the kid when he's getting his ice cream. And, you know, but it's a pulp adventure story. Some of that is,
yeah,
just the way it goes. But all in all, it was better than the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and wasn't as awful as I was expecting it to be. So I was pleasantly surprised and did enjoy it overall.
Well, and do you understand, now that you've seen it, what I was saying about how, like, I wouldn't have needed anything after Last Crusade, but after having seen Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, I needed this movie to wrap it up. Like, this wrapped up Indiana Jones in a way that Kingdom of the Crystal Skull didn't.
I can understand. I mean, I could eliminate Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and just have this one and be perfectly fine.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm not sure Crystal Skull added anything other than him and Marion getting married that makes any sort of real difference.
Yeah, and I guess I just had it. I guess I didn't think of it in terms of that, like, eliminating Crystal Skull altogether. Yeah, I guess maybe I was just trying to justify where everything fits. But yeah, like, and in this one, like, Harrison Ford actually is as old as they make, in Crystal Skull, they make it seem like he's like, or everyone jokes with him like he's 80 years old, even though he's really only like 65, which at this point really isn't that old. That's like 10 years younger than my dad.
That's like our, like, now that our parents are older than that, it doesn't seem that old.
Yeah. Yeah, but in this one, like, he's an old ass fucking man. He's like 80 years old, and he seems like it. Like, I love the part when in the beginning, after the cold open, when he's bitching at his neighbors in his, like, you know, t-shirt and boxer shorts, and they're listening to Beatles and shit. Like, that was fun. I saw that. I watched that movie again when it came out on digital, and I enjoy it. I didn't think it was too heavily, you know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge's movie. She did carry a lot of the weight, but he's always kinda got his supporting cast.
Yeah, and I don't understand why they keep having characters like her in some of these. She's so unlikable. Like she's almost like the second villain of the movie. And, like, at the end, she's like, yeah, well, like, you know, oh, I brought you back and look how nice I am. Like, no, you're a bad person. You're not a good person. You're lying and cheating and stealing and screwing people over throughout the whole movie and pretty unrepentant about it, the whole thing. Like, I'm not rooting for you.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I maybe don't you like should you. Go to jail for a little bit.
Yeah.
Learn a little humility.
Like, how are you the hero of this movie? I don't get it. You know, having these unrepentant scumbags being played like they're good guys, and like the writers don't understand that they're not, that it's not good to steal shit and screw people over and not care about human life. It's really bizarre.
Yeah. Well, all in all, I'm really glad that it wasn't just a horrible shit fest for you.
Yeah, no, I was pleasantly surprised. So,
well, I had a chance to consume a couple other geek centric things over the last couple weeks that I thought were pretty cool. One of them we can talk about because you also consumed it, and I said, don't say anything until we get on the show. Masters of the Universe Revolution, the follow-up to Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe Revelations. Revelation was 10 episodes. This was 5. What did you think of this?
I mean, it was way better than Revelations. Revelations was kind of a steaming pile of turds. Like, it was not what I expected or wanted at all.
Mm-hmm.
And just wasn't interested in it. And then I barely remember what happened in it. Like, did Skeletor get turned into weird, like, techno-Skeletor at the end of Revelations?
He must have. Maybe that was like a an ending stinger, because I know in the end, he, you know, when he had the Master Sword, he was like big, giant, like Uber Skeletor.
That's what I remembered.
I feel like, yeah, that had to have been at the very end where Mother came in, and then there was like a Horde teaser.
Yeah, because I didn't remember him looking like that at the end of the last one, but figured it must have happened. And I just put it out of my memory because it wasn't any good. But the new one, like, it was only 5 episodes, which I think was the right choice. Like, it was, mm-hmm. it was easy to watch and get through it. And it was a proper He-Man story with lots of He-Man action and, you know, all his pals and good bad guy double crossing and, you know, Evelyn kind of continuing her redemption arc thing and mm-hmm. Teela not being a selfish, whiny little fucking brat.
Yeah. I really liked the portrayal of Teela in this. She was going on a journey to bring back Praetorna, which I had forgotten that in Revelation it got destroyed. Yeah. It makes sense. There was a big battle for the Sword of Power going on. Yeah, I really enjoyed this as well. Like you said, this was more or less what I wanted and expected from a follow-up He-Man series. Like, just lots of good action and lots of He-Man, which the first series was missing. And Skeletor, you know, being conniving and even getting the upper hand against, you know, the Horde. We got to see Hordak and the what are his I don't know, there was Grizzlor and Leech and I can't remember the names of the other guys, but it was fun seeing more characters show up.
Even Gwildor showed up.
Yes, fucking Gwildor! Like, as they were walking up to his little hovel, and I saw that, I was like, "Oh no, fucking way! Oh no way!" And then they said something about a Keymaster, and I was like, "Oh no shit, huh?" And then it like shows his silhouette, like in the house. I was like, "Oh, maybe they don't have the rights, so they're just gonna have a little silhouette, and it's gonna be an Easter egg, and they're gonna fuck off." And then he comes off, and he comes out, and he's fucking Gwildor. He even references the cosmic key.
Yep.
Yeah, he's tasked with making a beefier power sword, or, you know, beefing it up, and it worked, and it was really cool looking, and He-Man gets a new fucking armor. So, I mean, it's too late to say spoiler warning, but I read an article with Kevin Smith where he was saying the reason why it was 5 episodes is because Netflix's algorithm, like, analyzed the original series and, like, the watching habits and, like, what people said about it, and deduced that it should be 5 episodes instead of 10.
Well, that might be because everyone stopped watching 5 episodes in because it sucked.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with, you know, the optimal number of episodes as much as it was a turd, and a lot of people just gave up on it after 5 episodes of no He-Man.
Well, and a lot of these Netflix series, especially, like, I remember with the Marvel series, you know, the Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and Defenders, they ran around 13 episodes, like, I think 10 to 13, and there always seemed to be like 1 or 2 episodes too many, where there was just like an episode or two where nothing advanced the story at all, and it didn't matter, and it was a bummer. I didn't want to watch that episode. So with Kevin Smith and team having to take a 10 episode arc and, you know, cut it down to 5, like, it really made it move real fast. You know, I could see there being like an episode or two of like Skeletor talking to himself trying to find a way to get ahead of the horde, and it being pretty boring and slow. But everything just happened real quick, and it was real cool, and I found myself just kind of personally cheering at a lot of moments. You know, it even choked me up a little bit at the end.
Yeah, so I liked too that, because it was originally meant to be like a, you know, picking up from the original series, right? Like that was the idea, is that mm-hmm. it picks up where the original series left off and moves on. And I'm glad that they kind of expanded that to a degree, because the like bringing Gwildor in, like that's from stuff that happened well outside of the original series continuity. Mm-hmm. Also, the whole thing with you know, Skeletor being, what's his name? The king's brother.
Keldor.
Yeah. With him being Keldor and getting turned over. Didn't that whole thing happen in like the 2000s He-Man arc?
Yeah.
Like that was a totally different cartoon.
The whole Keldor thing was, the 2002-03 cartoon series. Yeah.
Which was really good. And so I'm glad that they decided to run with that and make it canon anyway, even though it wasn't picking up from the original series.
Yeah, in a way, there was an embracing of the other series with that, with Keldor, and then with his like final armor that he shows up in. He's got a different symbol on his chest, and that's the symbol for the CGI Netflix He-Man series that made for little kids.
I didn't make that connection.
So it was cool little nods. Yeah, I had watched that one with my kid. She enjoyed it.
If you did not catch the first one, don't worry about it. You could just completely skip that entirely. Like you could jump right into this one and pretty much pick up what's going on without having to worry about any of that shit.
Yeah. I think the only big difference is that Teela is now the sorceress and her friend is the new man at arms, but they tell you all you need to hear.
Yeah.
You need to know for that.
And the whole, not Praetoria,
Praetorna.
Praetorna. Of being destroyed, like it covers that too, and tells you, Evelyn did that, and now she has to make up for it. And like, you get everything you need to know without having to go back and watch 10 episodes of trash.
I bet somebody has made a supercut from Revelations that's like, you know, 22 minutes long. That's pretty good.
It's episode 1 and episode 10. The two with He-Man action.
It ends with Prince Adam getting stabbed, and then cuts back in with him coming back. Yeah, none of that Sarah Michelle Gellar Teela stuff. Which, and in this new series, it's Melissa, I don't know how her name is pronounced, Benoist, the girl who played Supergirl in the TV series. Oh. She's doing the voice of Teela, and I like her a lot more.
I couldn't have told you that. I didn't notice a change or difference, mostly because I put the old, you know, Revelations kind of out of mind. But she seemed to do a good job. The only thing I did remember was that I don't really like Mark Hamill's Skeletor. It's a little too jokery. I don't know. I get the logic of it. Like, if you can't get Alan Oppenheimer, like, Mark Hamill's a great get. He's, you know, he is a well-known voice actor and, you know, nerd hero. So, like, that's a solid get, but just didn't sound like Skeletor to me.
Yeah, for some reason this time around, it didn't bother me. Probably all the shock happened with the first series, and I just knew that it was happening. But yeah, I'm surprised it didn't bother me. Yeah. Well, all in all, I recommend it.
He did call someone a boob at one point. I remember hearing that.
He did. I think he even said royal boob.
Yeah, which is nice.
Grandor, come in, you royal boob. Oh, man. Oh, I got to find Alan Oppenheimer at a convention before he dies. I need to get his voice recorded calling me a boob to play at my funeral. John, what are you doing laying there, you boob? The other series that I got to watch was Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, the Godzillaverse or Monsterverse. No, that was the Universal thing they were trying to do. Universe.
I think it is Monsterverse. I think that is what they're calling
it. Is it?
I think they decided.
Oh, that's right. The Universal was Dark Universe.
How was it?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's like a universal, like, this was a great TV show and everybody should watch it, but it pulled me in enough. I think, you know, some of the characters, their motivations were kind of dumb, and the characters were a little annoying. You're like, why are you doing that? Like, no human being would actually make this decision right now. But it did have a good cast. Like, most people I didn't know. Kiersey Clemons was in it. I think that's her name. She played Iris in the new Flash movie. She was okay. Good, but John Goodman makes an appearance in the beginning of the series, because he was in Kong Skull Island playing Bill Randa, who was like one of the founders of Monarch. But then it's got like a current day storyline where people are trying to track down their father, and it's tied in with the company of Monarch, and he's got all these crazy theories about, you know, it takes place in 2015, so I think it takes place before Godzilla versus Kong, and you see some of the like development of the company Apex that creates Mechagodzilla and that, but then it also has a storyline that's back in like mainly the 50s, that's got, you know, a young Bill Randa, John Goodman's character, and then two other characters, one played by Wyatt Russell back then, Kurt Russell's son, and then in modern times that character's there and he's played by Kurt Russell. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
There, you know, there's some interesting parallels that go through. They go into it's a bit of development based around, you know, like the inner world thing that happens in Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Like them trying to discover that, which it's kind of a bummer watching this whole series as a prequel to Godzilla versus Kong, where you're like, well, no, I know it exists. Like they went through it. I've seen it. So when they're like trying to convince people like this thing exists, they're like, but you're crazy. It's kind of like, well, no, I know how this ends. Yeah. So, but it was cool. There's a few Titans, including Godzilla, shows up. I don't know. It was worth my time.
How many episodes is it?
I think it's 10 episodes.
I really appreciate the not forcing everything to have 22 episodes anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally into that.
Or if you're going to do 22 episodes, don't make it one arc. Like that's what always, I had a real hard time with the CW Flash show after a couple seasons, where it's like, these stories can't support a 22 episode arc. And there would be, you know, a few of those filler episodes, like we were talking about with Netflix, and it's just like, man, just, you know, do three, like 6 or 7 episode arcs in a season. If you want to have more episodes,
the benefit of streaming services, as with like indie comics, like when we're making stuff, is that, you know, fucking make it however many episodes and whatever length they need to be to tell the story you need to tell. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't have to fit in a time slot anymore. You don't have to fill out a certain amount of the season or whatever. So you could make, you know, 8 episodes and have them run anywhere between 32 and 55 minutes if you want. It doesn't make any fucking difference. They don't all need to be the same. That you don't need to allow for commercial breaks. You don't need to fit them into, you know, like a comic, like into a 22 to 24 page format. Like, if you need to tell a story that's 35 pages, tell a story that's 35 pages and your story will be better for it.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of which, that's something else that's been happening. You know, we've talked for a while about like, ha ha ha, oh, it's happening slowly, but Space Oddities 3 is on track. I mean, it's not coming out next week, but I'm fucking cranking in a way that I haven't since the second issue was done. You know, like I'm actually fully invested and making really good progress. We historically do our campaigns in November, but I don't think we need to wait that long. I don't think it would be too ambitious to think like a summer campaign.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we usually do them in November just because that's when it was ready.
Like, yeah. It just happened to work. Yeah. The second year too. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, we probably should have waited a few months the second year. Like, we probably should have done it in spring. Yeah,
that is true.
Like, we didn't have as much done as we wanted. We were just hoping to, you know, let's do it in a year.
Yeah, I had a plan that that did not involve a cancer scare.
Yeah, and I think it led to trying to cram it all in like we did led to a little bit of burnout that has that kind of delayed the passion on the third issue.
And guilt, just like the guilt of running behind and having people who had invested their money having to wait on it turned into a bummer of an experience, but I'm over it. I went on a journey of self-discovery. No, I don't know. Never mind. I'm back in. I'm in love with our characters. I think we've got a really cool story to tell, and I'm having fun doing it. It's coming soon. I started posting on social media little bits of like, oh shit, it's happening. So got to hold myself accountable. Hopefully it's not like when you're quitting smoking. Like the second you say, oh yeah, I'm quitting smoking, you failed. Like once you start telling people, you're going to biff it. You just need to do it for yourself.
Yeah. In this case, I think telling people is probably beneficial because then it means you can't, if you back out, there's people to hold you to account.
Yeah. People to give you shit.
Ready and waiting.
Well, you're not allowed to. You're my creative partner. So you have to be supportive. Yeah. I guess that's about it. I don't know. This is I wanted to get on Mike to have sort of a catch-up session because it had been a while, and while you were gone, I recorded with Gate Leapers, which should be coming out this Thursday, so go listen to that. We did a Scott Pilgrim versus the World episode, and if you want to know whether I kept up my my triumphant streak or not, you'll have to go listen to it.
Yeah, exciting.
It was my first episode without Ben there with me to be my security blanket, so it was a little... It's a little nerve-wracking. There was one point, I think it was while I was doing my muse, which is appropriate to, I won't spoil anything, but it's appropriate to what we're talking about right now. Like, I sort of blacked out as I was talking. I had a plan, and I had my muse set, but like as I started going, it just all like form and organization just sort of like went to shit. And I just kind of blabbed, and I was like, I hope I said what I wanted to say. I don't know. It was a good time. We were recording with Jason and Audra were there, and then Drew from Carrying Wayward.
Oh yeah, Drew's a lot of fun.
Was there? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah. He's the one person out of all the cast that I've met, other than you and the pre-existing team.
And yeah, he's good people. So that should be a good episode. I'm looking forward to that.
Hopefully. Okay. Well, did we do it?
I think we did. It's
all right.
And hopefully we'll be coming out with a full episode sometime in the near future. We got some stuff in the works. We'll be kind of back a little bit, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been itching to get back on mic. Maybe I was, for whatever reason, for the last year or something, I was passionless. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting back my zest for life.
I know the feeling. I've definitely encountered that a bit, like especially after coming out of COVID and stuff, like just kind of cruising through things and not feeling really passionate about much.
Yeah, maybe it's the world. We're just like, we're just waiting for something shitty to happen again on a global scale.
Civil War is next, right? I mean, that's what the something, Magic 8-Ball says.
let's see. I mean, let's wait and see. We're in an election year, so something turbo shitty is bound to happen.
Yeah, the Texas versus America war.
Yeah. Secede from the Union. Let's do it. Man, and I was just looking at how cheap some real estate in Texas is. Holy shit.
Some of that's for very good reasons. It's like, you can get some land real cheap in the Nevada desert. You're stuck in the Nevada desert. There's nothing fucking there.
If you want to get in touch with us, email us at email@geeksplorationpodcast.com. You can find us on social medias, Facebook, Geeksploration, the podcast page, Wow, it's been a while. Instagram, Geeksploration Podcast, or Twitter at Geeksplore Pod. You can also call us, and that's the best way to do it, because we'll play it on the show, and we will talk back to it. That is 916-ORC-TURD, 916-ORC-TURD. If you look at your numbers, they've got letters attached to it. That's how you do it.
If you enjoyed today's episode, go leave us a review on one of those places where that happens. We've got a Discord. We're part of the Geekly Grind podcast network. There's probably some other shit, but I'll figure out what it is later. Our theme song, remember that one, is Celebration by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
This summer, it's Lizard versus Wizard. In an epic tale of fire and magic. Pre-order your copy of The Last of the Giant Fire Lizards now on Amazon. A rip-roaring R-rated comedy under the cloak of an epic fantasy adventure. Free audio sample available on giant-lizards.com. The Last of the Giant Fire Lizards, on sale May 21st.